Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Well, I'm looking around. I don't see any signs of damage. Everything looks the same. Everything kind of feels the same.
You're looking for damage control right now.
I'm looking to see if D-Mac did any damage while I was away.
Like a saboteur was amongst us.
Right.
Sabotage your area there. No. He was fairly tame yesterday.
That's what I heard. I was gone, and thank you very much to D-Mac for filling in yesterday. I was gone. Family went away for the weekend, beautiful Crested Butte, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And, had the chance to sleep in a little bit yesterday, I really didn't hear anything, and I didn't get any, like, oh my God, text from anybody.
Right.
So my impression without hearing anything was that he was fairly tame. Fairly well behaved.
He was.
Maybe a bit intimidated by the big fella.
I don't know. I just think it was fairly tame, and we did not get into some of the shenanigans that the two of you go round and round on.
He just saves that for when he and I get together.
Yes.
Bronco pregame shows.
Right.
Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, when you're saying, hey, it's a quarterback room that we gotta, you know, and you got 14 quarterbacks, and like, so, you know, and he sees all the things that I make fun of him for, right? So, I think that there was just maybe there was apprehension there. I don't know. But we had it was great.
Well, man, I hope he knew that you're a big cuddly bear and that he could have said just about anything.
Oh.
It's not like you were going to bite his head off.
No, you weren't going to go
full to huff on him and break his ribs.
No, absolutely not.
Happy 1 year anniversary, by the way.
Did you hear that sound of the actual breaking of the rib? I'd never heard this before on the video, and you can really hear it. Like, listen to this. Go, Ben,
have the sound of it?
He's going to grab it.
Really? You got that?
You can, like, just listen to it. It's like it's 4 second clip or something, and you can hear where he actually gets thrown and like the snapping of the go ahead. Listen.
So I want to get in here, and then I want to get right here. You see this? You see the power I've got right there? Now I want him to push back on me. And then right here again.
Oh, that's not natural.
Back on me.
I might have to elevate.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
Elevate the Huff's toughness. Like, if I put the Huff on a scale of 1 to 10 from a toughness standpoint, he'd be somewhere between a 1 and a 0. Like, he'd be a 0 and a 1, like a point something.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But after listening to that video, I might move him up to over a 1. Not quite a 2, but somewhere between a 1 and a 10.
God, that so bad.
How'd that feel?
Oh. I know how it sounded. How'd it feel?
I kind of don't remember that moment that much other than I couldn't breathe.
I remember about that was how red your head got.
Yeah.
I couldn't breathe.
I mean, it was like tomato red.
Uh-huh.
Oh, good times.
If that had happened to me and my head got that red.
Oh, my gosh.
Perseverance would have left and headed to my head. Would have left Mars. New Mars out there.
I guess.
That's like an orange on a toothpaste.
Look at the new red planet. So, you know, that day he walked out of here. Well, limped out of here. And his pain threshold, the respect that we had for you, DeHuff, was at like 8.5 at that point.
Yeah.
And then
you gave it all away over the next year.
Shut up. I had to go. Yeah, you're such a. I almost called you something, but I didn't.
Am I right?
I almost made a stew out of me.
I almost called you by your middle name, Dick, but I didn't. I had to go shoot a video with Kendall that day, and we were going around doing stuff for the combine, and she had to sit on my back while I did push-ups with a broken rib. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, that it was.
Right, then I'll elevate you to a 9.
No,
yeah. And then you gave it
then
all
you
away.
Gave it
then
all
I
back.
Gave it away.
You gave it away. It's like that song from the Wham. I gave you my heart and you gave it away. So, you know, the interesting thing was, even my wife shamed Huff after that video. She said, after she saw the video, she goes, oh, he'll be at the emergency room. And I go, no, he went to film some combines. He's going to be fine. No, she goes, I guarantee you by such and such a time, he'll be by 7 o'clock tonight, he'll be in the emergency room. I go, no, the Huff is going to suck this one up. And of course, by like 5:30, he was in the emergency room with his feet in the stirrups.
They were, whoa.
What did I say?
That escalated quickly.
Those stirrups are cold.
But I'm stopping right there. No. Not gonna say what I think. Nope.
Oh shoot. That could be a call to the principal's office.
So tell me about 607 this morning, guys. What happened there?
I don't know what you're talking about. Let me play it back for you.
Cold stirrups. Mark, what were you implying?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I miss you guys. All right. We are off and rolling. Coming up, today is franchise tag day around the NFL. Is it a good idea to put the tag on Justin Simmons? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I promise we'll get to sports. But I got to read some of the texts from our first segment where we relive the one-year anniversary of Stink breaking DeHuff's ribs. From Smoth. The Huff took it like a champ, but that was one of the funniest segments in a long time. Thanks for the laugh. Patrick, best start to your show ever. Never laughed so hard, almost broke a rib.
Yeah, see? That's what happens.
Let's see what else we got here. Just spit out my West Rock coffee. Thanks, Derek. This is why I love 6 a.m., John. And one more. That sound wasn't the Huff's ribs. It was his soul leaving his body.
That could be true.
From John.
That could be true.
Oh, and one more from Josh. I just saw Juna the Rhino celebrated a birthday at the Denver Zoo. Congratulations to DeHuff for making it to work yesterday.
Yeah, I think the party was after. It was yesterday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had the party hats, the Rhino party hats.
Great cake.
Yes. DeHuff was there.
Because listen, whatever big happens at the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
DeHuff is on the short list.
Guys, we can't start the party until DeHuff gets here.
Right. Okay? Yeah, that's exactly the way it goes over there at the Denver Zoo. You were there during the birthing, right?
Yeah, I had the gloves on.
Right.
It was great. Push! Very messy.
It's okay, sweetheart. We're going to get through this.
Can we real quick bring up, I know you're going to talk sports, but we had to educate.
Bring up what happened during the break here.
Millennial Ben comes in and he's like, why would you be in stirrups? I'm like, for an exam?
Millennial Ben, in
he's
his,
not
in,
it.
Yeah, but in his defense, he's 12. So he's a sweet little boy.
So it was funny. So we had a very in-depth conversation of what stirrups are used for. And he's a little green right now, but he gets it.
Let's just say he was way off what he thought the stirrups were. He's like, why is it so funny? Like, if somebody breaks their leg and they're in the hospital, they have their leg elevated, right? That's a stirrup. I go, no, that's like a sling.
Yeah.
You know? Oh.
It was cute, though. You know, it was sweet listening to DeHuff explain it.
It was.
When a daddy loves a mommy.
The doctor has to go put her up in the stirrups and go rooting around in there and say, hey, I'll be down. Bet y'all didn't know Cowboy DeHuff was he's a doctor.
Oh my God.
All right.
Here we go. Let's try to focus here.
Start off the show.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hey, today's franchise tag day in the NFL.
Ooh.
So you get the tag, the dreaded tag. Although I don't know why is there this perception that tag is bad? You guys, you players, you agree to it every single CBA. So, I mean, it's not like it's something that's forced upon you. You agree to it. So why is there a sense that, they put the tag on me. I'm missing out on my big, big payday. I'll get 1 year big payday, but I'm missing out on my big, big payday. Then why do you agree to it every time?
Because once they agree to it one time, then it became, it's like curfew. You know, I mean, once you set a curfew, it's like you set a curfew with your kids at midnight, and then if you try to reel it back in to 10:30, you know, you're going to have a big issue. You agreed to it initially, and then it became part of the standard operating procedure. Yeah, it's guys hate it. Of course they do. But when it was agreed to back in 90, I think it was 93 was the first year it was agreed to, Mike, that was, you know, the top five of you know, all the top paid players. It looked like a great deal, you know, and because at that time, you have to remember the money wasn't like it was or like it is today. And so, and at that point, it was progress. Now it's, yeah. And again, this is why, hey man, this is why they're billionaires and the players are the players. They saw the eventual what this was going to be. And it's a, you know, it's a great deal for the owners to keep a guy, in a sport where the odds, it's 100% certainty you're going to get hurt. It's just the level of injury that you have. So you get a top player, but you have to pay him a top salary. Okay. For 1 year. And then we've got an option to do it again in Justin Simmons' case. And oh, by the way, guess what? We don't have to do. We don't have to shell out a exorbitant $60 million signing bonus where we have to have all the cash in escrow on hand when he signs that deal. So, you know, it just is a way. It's a way for them to manage their salary cap and manage a player that they like, but they don't want to marry long term, essentially.
So once again, the team, the league wins.
Sure.
The player. I mean, player doesn't lose. Look, he's still getting paid an exorbitant amount of money, but still, he's not getting as much as he could while still having to roll the dice that he could get hurt and thus severely impact his long-term earning power. But once again, you know, thank goodness that you players act like cattle, you know. March them in, march them out, cattle in, cattle out, because what ends up happening is it stays team-friendly and thus fan-friendly. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, yeah.
It's a system that is designed to benefit us, the fans.
And ultimately it's worked.
Sure.
Again, there are guys that are getting paid. There are guys that are getting, you know, big money contracts, that are getting a lot of upfront money that have the security of, of not only supporting themselves, but supporting the next two generations, because they've made multiple generational changing, you know, money. And that's great. And it continues to get, I think the players continue to chip away at it. It's a lot of the ancillary benefits that they're short-sighted on, the lifetime insurance, the things that they could fight for that they choose not to fight for.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. If you make enough money, you don't have to. But the percentage of guys that make that kind of money that are set for life are, it's a very, very small percentage of the overall players that play.
Is just like in baseball. If you
go to arbitration with a player in baseball.
Uh-huh.
And you get up there in front of a arbiter and you start basically just tearing down the player. I mean, that's the job of the team is to really poke holes in the player to try to not have to pay him as much.
Right.
That can really harm the relationship between player and team.
Sure.
The franchise tag. I mean, if Justin Simmons is tagged twice with two different general managers, two different front offices, I mean, the message is being sent loud and clear. We like you. We don't love you. We want to date you. We don't want to marry you. I mean, how can that not irreparably hurt the relationship between him and the team?
Oh,
to the point where as soon as he gets a chance, he's gone.
He is a consummate professional. So he's going to go out there and he's going to play his butt off. But you're 100% right. It will ultimately, it will fracture the relationship to a point. I will tell you this though, Mike. I mean, when you think about it and you think about where the Broncos stand, no fault of Justin Simmons, but they don't use him the way the top paid players at that position are used. He's more of a deep middle of the field safety than he is a in the box safety, a blitzing safety. The guys that get paid are, have a ton of tackles. They're down in the box. They're playing outside linebacker. They're playing, you know, that buzz defender, and they're blitzing all the time. Those are the guys that get paid. You know, the guys that come down in robber and, you know, in three robber and they roll down in there and they're playing the hook and they're, taking away crossing routes. And then they're, you know, actually down in the box as a linebacker. And like I said, blitzing, it's the Jamal Adams of the world. It's the Matthews of the world. It's the Buda Bakers of the world. Those are the guys that get paid because they're impacting the football field on all three levels. Justin Simmons isn't asked to do that as
could
much.
Could he do it?
Could he do it theoretically? Yes, but I think he's better doing what he does.
Okay.
By the way, look to your right. Would you look at that sunrise?
Whew.
I mean, come on, people.
It's beautiful. God is a Broncos fan.
Yeah.
As evidenced by that. Okay, Morning Brew coming up, and we are proud. We got a legend joining us here at the Fan. Can't wait to work with him. Can't wait to be able to play Slayer every time he comes on. There is your hint. Details next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crap thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
They created plenty of chances to win the hockey game. You know, I put it more on our defending than on our lack of an ability to create chances, but we didn't execute and finish them off, that's for sure.
Well, Jared Bednar and the Avalanche lose last night at home. They get blanked 3-0 by Vegas. And Mark, with the benefit of hindsight, something that I think you could kind of see coming, Vegas is a really good team. And by the way, sign me up for 7 games between these two teams in the playoffs, maybe Western Conference Finals. I would gladly take that. But you had to figure Vegas, after going through everything they went through with that long, drawn-out day at Lake Tahoe on Saturday, that they'd be coming back in pretty loaded for bear in this rematch. And, you know, that's the thing with the way that the hockey schedule is set up this year, with the teams playing sometimes 2, 3, 4 times in a row, that you get that ebb and flow in terms of intensity. And I just probably think the Avs just couldn't really match it. You're grinning. What are you grinning about?
You're 100% right.
I think I got it nailed, didn't I?
No, you're 100% right. And when Fleury is on, he's really good. And I mean, there's a reason why he won 3 Stanley Cups. I mean, when he's on, he's a tough one to beat. But I just go back to that. I go back to the game in Tahoe when McKinnon gets the puck and the defenseman, Alex, what is his name? Petrangelo goes, oh boy. Did you see that? He's Mike David. Oh boy. And it just made me grin because I was thinking about some of the times, like when all of a sudden you'd be break the huddle and Reggie White was lined up over you, or you know, Lawrence Taylor was lined up over you. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Uh-oh.
Good thing I'm not mic'd up right now.
Exactly. You'd hear it. If it was mic'd up around my waist, you'd hear it trickling down my leg.
Next on the Morning Brew.
We'll see how the 4-3 and the cover 3 work together.
John Clayton with the lead.
Thanks, Dan. Take care. From the NFL Drew Brees and 100
talks about it. Whenever we need a brilliant insight, he's available at the drop of a hat.
Man, I gave the big tease, you know, hey, we got a legend, join the fan, and immediately a promo runs.
Yeah.
And I just gave it all away.
Gave away your tease.
Just gave away my tease. Way to go, Millennial Ben.
Way to look out for me.
Yeah, we're pumped. John Clayton, Hall of Famers, joining us here at the Fan. He's going to be doing columns. He's going to be popping on different shows. I mean, you're talking about FOS's, Friends of Stink.
I mean,
he's one of the top guys on your list, right?
Johnny C. I love Johnny Clayton. And, you know, we worked together for, hell, what did we work at? 16 years at ESPN. And you know, we connect all the time. Just over things. You know, he's still in Seattle, in the Seattle area. Every time I call a Seattle game, he does stuff, sideline stuff for, on the Seahawks games and stuff. So, Johnny's as good as it gets, man. I'm excited to have him as part of the Fan.
All right, we got a column that he wrote, his first one that we'll talk about a little bit later on this morning. Next on The Morning Bro.
My pride won't even allow me to do that. And you can talk about this, you can talk about that, you can talk about whatever. Listen, bro, there's not 32 guys better than me.
Cam Newton in the news, first of all. Defending himself, talking himself up.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves to be a starting quarterback in this league. Does he?
Depends on how he plays. I mean,
based on what you saw last year, should he be a starting quarterback in the league this year?
I think he should get an opportunity to be a starting quarterback. Nothing's given to you in this league. We know that. I don't care. I don't care what you did in the past. I don't care if you were an MVP. How do you play today? That's how the game works. Hey, Carson Wentz signed a huge contract. He should have. He was having an MVP season before he got hurt in 2017. Where is he now? He's in Indy. Like, it's just the way it works. So, everything is earned. Nothing is given. That's the National Football League.
The other part of the Newton story is that a high school football player has apologized to Newton after a exchange between them went viral. Part of the video shows that Newton was being repeatedly taunted by this high schooler as a free agent-to-be who was, quote, about to be poor. Now, is it ultimately a positive ending that this young man learned a lesson and had to apologize and should have apologized for what he did? Or, as I've seen some people say, wow, has Cam Newton fallen so low that he gets triggered by a teenager? Which way do you look at it?
I look at it, if it was my son.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
we'd have an issue. Not me and Cam.
No.
Me and my son.
Yeah.
I once called my son when he was in college. This is a true story. And T.O. did something that was just really stuck in my craw, whatever. One of the 8 million things that T.O. did that really aggravated me. And I called him. I said, you see the latest with T.O. and what happened there? Yeah. And I said, just know that if you ever behave like that, college, professional, whatever, I will be on the next flight and we will throw down. I will whip your ass. Just understand that. There's a lack of, obviously, there's just a lack of respect.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the fact that he,
the odds
the
of
kid
you
apologize, yeah. I think that's the story.
Right.
The lesson learned.
Right. The odds of you making it to the less than probably 1% of all people who play, you know, football at any point in their lives go on to be professional. Then they go on to lead a team to a Super Bowl and win an MVP of the NFL. Come on, dude. Like, wise up.
Next up, well, This is why Mark would have kicked his son's butt. Next on the Morning Brew.
All right. 38, give or take. Hey, listen, you want to be critical of my reps? When you're 55 and have 7 elbow surgeries, then you can be critical of my reps.
All right, so you do this every year. It's kind of your own little bench press combine challenge. You know, the combine won't be happening this year, which is so sad because we miss out on these guys doing 225-pound reps. And every year you show that you still got it, and you did 38 on Saturday.
Yeah.
Give or take. Now, here is the controversy. You don't really go all the way up.
No, never.
Now, I understand that leads to a lot of, gym studs out there who say that your accomplishments are flawed. They're fraudulent because you're not doing a true rep.
Well, one, I can't lock out my elbows because I've had 7 elbow surgeries. So, my left elbow only bends to, I can't straighten it. It goes to about 15 degrees. So it's locked there. It doesn't go. I can't get it straight. So anyhow, that's part of my issue. The other part, like, could I go a little more than I, absolutely. Would they probably count them at the bench press combine? No, some of them wouldn't count. Do I give a rip? No. Does anybody completely lock out at the combine bench press test? No. No, I mean, nobody does.
Do you enjoy the people on Twitter who scrutinize your form? Do you enjoy those back and forth with those folks?
I like
here you
that.
Are at age 55. Throwing up 225. You know, well over 30 times.
Right.
Easily.
Like, could I lock my elbows out and do more than 99.999% of the population in the United States of America? Yes, I could.
All right. On that note.
There you go.
That's probably why when you threatened your son went, okay. No problem. Lesson learned, Dad. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. All right, it's franchise tag day. We know it's coming for Justin Simmons, but does that preclude a deal still getting done between Peyton and George and Justin Simmons? We'll talk to Mike Kliss. He'll join us next. All right, let's welcome in Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider. He's presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Happy franchise tag day, Michael.
Yeah, it's a 2-week window, and normally, you know, even though the window opens today, almost all of the tags will, you know, won't be applied till closer to the deadline. You try to negotiate during these 2 weeks. March 9th is the deadline, and, you know, I think the Broncos will try to get something done with Justin Simmons before the tag. If they don't, and they tag him on March 9th or 8th, whatever, then it pretty much carries to the next deadline, which is July 15th. And then if you don't have a deal done, Simmons would have to play a second year on the franchise tag, which is $13.7 million for him this year. The highest paid safety in the NFL is $14.7 million, which is Buda Baker. So I think, you know, going into this thing before negotiations start, I think they're relatively close. It's just a matter of whether they can reach an agreement.
You look at this roster in general. Is there anybody else that you could see them putting a franchise tag on besides Justin if they can't get this contract done?
No, I think who are their free agents? Shelby Harris is probably their next best free agent, and you know, defensive ends, nose tackles are defensive end. I think the tag is $15 million something. The nose tackle or defensive tackle is $14 million something. So I don't think you pay Shelby Harris that. I think Shelby Harris, I said last year, I thought Shelby Harris was would get a $10 million a year contract, and he wound up with three. He had to swallow his pride and come back to the Broncos on 1 year and $3.5 million. I still think Shelby, you know, he's a year older, still productive. I still think he's a $10 million a year player, but not a franchise tagger.
Hey, let me go back to Justin Simmons. And I was telling Mike this earlier. Justin plays a lot more in the middle of the field as kind of an eraser safety, right? A guy that doesn't spend as much time in the box, as much time blitzing. That's really Kareem's job in the way they structure the defense. And so, to me, the guy who's the highest paid guy in the league, whether it's Buda Baker or Jamal Adams, the guys that get paid, you know, Matthew, are those guys that play linebacker, that play, you know, that blitz, that can play all three, kind of all three levels, where Justin just, because of the defense, I'm not saying he can't do it, but because of the way the defense is structured, they don't ask him to do that. Does he understand that you're probably not going to be the top paid guy based upon the position you play and the way and the structure of their defense?
Does he understand? Last year he didn't. Last year, and I agree with you, he's not the disruptor. You know, I just say a safety disruptor that, say, Honey Badger is with the Chiefs, Matthew. But a Baker is with Arizona. I think Justin is, you know, frankly, average against the run, maybe a little above average. He does make tackles in the open field, but he's not. He waits for the guy to come to him. He doesn't come up and unload on the ball carrier. He's a very good, as you say, I call him a center fielder. Mm-hmm. He plays the deep zone with vision very well. I think he's maybe the best safety at that. There's two parts to being a safety. He's maybe the best at one half of that. The other half, you're right. Kareem Jackson is more of a disruptor, in the run game. Last year, when they got together, they weren't far apart going into it last year. And he has an aggressive agent, Justin Simmons, Todd France, who also represented Dak Prescott, who also represented Bud Dupree. All three of those guys were franchise tagged, and all three of those guys played on the tag. Two of them had serious injuries, Dupree and Prescott, season-ending injuries. So we'll see how that works out for those two players. Justin made it through a third year playing every snap. But, Justin, asking price last year was to be number one. It was right around 15 million. The Broncos came in a little low, I thought, at around 13 million. And they never really negotiated. They just, because of the pandemic and the uncertainty, no one knew, you know, I think maybe the agents and the players were hoping that things would get resolved with the pandemic and virus, and they, you know, no one would lose any revenue. They kind of lost there. But to me, it's pretty obvious that the negotiating point for Justin Simmons is in the $14 million range. And we'll see if George Payton gets there. John Elway was resistant always to giving guys the number one contract at a position. And we'll see, through George Payton's first offseason, what his philosophy is. I do know this about George Payton. He did say if you grow your own and they're good players and they're outstanding characters, then you should take care of your own. So he goes into it with that mindset. Now it's a matter of, Justin Simmons has half of this deal. He has to agree to a deal, so we'll see how this all plays out.
Visit with Mike Kliss. Mike, real quick, it was interesting reading Peter King talk about speculating what kind of moves would get a Deshaun Watson deal done for different teams, and what stood out to me was the inclusion of a lot of players. It usually, you're thinking it's just going to be draft picks, but there were specific players mentioned in these deals. If it came to the Broncos trying to make a deal for Watson, would any player on this Bronco roster be off limits?
Yeah, I read that piece, and for instance, in Carolina, he said Christian McCaffrey and Robbie Anderson. I disagree with that because those guys have enormous contracts. Those guys are impediments. With all due respect, we all love Christian McCaffrey, and he's a great running back. But at $17 million a year, he doesn't help get a deal done. He hurts. The type of players that would that Houston would want in return are young, talented guys not making any money. In a Houston deal, Drew Locke's only making $1 million. First of all, everyone's overlooking what's the number one thing Houston's going to want in return for Deshaun Watson, and that's a quarterback to replace Deshaun Watson. Now, it might not be Drew Locke, but Drew Locke is appealing because he's under 25. He's got a year plus of starting experience, and he's making $1.1 million this year. That's better, I think, if you're Houston, than Teddy Bridgewater, say, who's making $18 million this year with $10 million guaranteed of that $18 million. So then you go into the draft picks. But if they're going to mention players, start with the young, talented guys. I've heard they want defensive players. The top two young defensive players on the Broncos are Bradley Chubb and Draymond Jones. I don't think the Broncos are going to want to give up either one of those guys in a Deshaun Watson deal. So if it's going to be players, guys, it's going to be young players making no money. That's what gets deals done.
Mike, appreciate it as always. Great stuff. Thank you.
See you guys.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. We welcome John Clayton into our stable of insiders and his first column for the Fan. We need to discuss. It involves George Payton, Deshaun Watson, and Drew Locke. We'll parse it out for you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.